Dry bones are hopeless. They're not only dead, but there's no flesh on them. And they're dry to boot, brittle, bleached by the sun. Hopeless. But even when it's hopeless, even when all around is hopeless, God is at work. God's work is always going on. That's the message of Pentecost. That's the message of Christian faith. That's what it's all about. God is always at work within us and among us. Even when it's hopeless, dry bones, even then, God is at work among us. Things were falling apart for Ezekiel. His country, his people, the people God called Israel, they had abandoned God and God's ways. The Old Testament says they worshiped other gods, and I'm sure that's true. But beneath that, what that means is that they valued other things more than the things that were important to God. For example, they valued wealth and property more than they valued life. They trusted weapons of war more than they trusted God's strength. They sought their own pleasure rather than God's great dream. And so Ezekiel saw the enemies of Israel upon them. And he saw, as Israel, his country came to an end. The Babylonians destroyed Israel and they enslaved the people, and Israel was no more. That is indeed what happened. And Ezekiel was the prophet who spoke in Israel at the time of its defeat. He was the last prophet to see Israel as a nation. But the last word that the last prophet spoke was a word of hope. Even when it was hopeless, upon these dry bones of defeat and destruction and death will come tendons and ligaments and muscle and skin until finally the breath of life will make them live again. Even when it is hopeless, God is at work among us. Even when the bones are dead and dry, no possibility of life residing within them, even then, God is at work. Even in dry bones. At the end of the Civil War, things were pretty devastated in the South. In the North too, but most especially in the South. I know that some of you are Civil War scholars, and you're going to know the story I'm going to tell you in a moment. Among the leading colleges and universities in this nation, then and now, was an institution called the College of William and Mary. It's located in Virginia, in Williamsburg. Any of you graduates of William and Mary? Any of you attend there? I'm not aware that we have any William and Mary graduates in this congregation. But you know the name and you know the school. Well, at the end of the Civil War, the College of William and Mary was bankrupt, and it was closed. There were no faculty. There were no students. The lawns were not mowed. The buildings were not heated, and they were deteriorating. The College of William and Mary, like many other institutions across the South, was no more. Deserted campus, nobody around. And it was written off by everyone as being dead, dry bones. Everyone knew that it was over for the College of William and Mary. Everyone except a man named Benjamin Stoddard Ewell. Ewell was president of the College of William and Mary before the war, and he remained president afterwards when it was closed. And Benjamin Stoddard Ewell refused to give up on William and Mary. And so every morning, he got himself up out of bed. He dressed up in his suit. He walked to the school. He mounted the stairs in the main building. And he rang the school bell every morning. Just as he would have done had the place been filled with students, he rang the school bell every morning for 7 years. He arose and he rang the school bell and he went to his office, calling students to class and living as if he were there. He acted as if the school were still there, and people thought he was crazy. For 7 years, they thought he was crazy, ringing that bell in that empty building in defiance of the despair and the hopelessness that he felt, but in defiance of common sense, too. It was a valley of dry bones, the campus of William and Mary, after 7 years. But you will continue to ring the bell until finally, miraculously, it worked. Others caught his vision, and eventually students and teachers and funding returned. And today, America's second oldest university thrives again. And it remains a leading institution of its kind in our country and in our culture, known and respected across the world. But it happened because there was one person who continued to hope, even when it was hopeless, who believed that even then, God was at work. I look around me today at the society which we have created, the culture, the nation in which we live, and there's a lot to be hopeless about. Perhaps some of you in your homes, in your work, and your lives are thinking the same thing. There's a whole lot to be hopeless about. Our circumstances are in many ways similar to those that Ezekiel saw in his time. Like his people, we value wealth and property more than we value life. We trust weapons of war more than we trust God's strength. We seek our own pleasure rather than God's great dream. And as I look in front of me this morning at these three rows of eighth graders, confirmands, ready to step up here, I now have their attention, I want you to know. Ready to step up here in a few moments and receive what Christians have received for thousands of years, the laying on of hands that passes the faith in a visible way from one generation to another, from one person to another. As I look at you, three rows full of you, there aren't many churches around who have as many confirmations as First Church, confirmands as First Church has. But I see your lives and your values just beginning to form. But I also see you, teenagers, mostly focused on your own pleasure, mostly focused on making choices that suit your whims and your needs, making choices that are not always wise. Ezekiel, if he were standing here, he might look at you and see dry bones. But we see God at work in you. And it is nothing less than miraculous, the things that we see God doing in our midst and doing in you and with you. And when we confirm you in just a few moments into the Christian community and into the membership of this congregation, we express our confidence in you and our confidence in your parents. But ultimately, more than that, we express our confidence in God, whose work is always about life, and who always calls us to trust in God, to hope in God, to have confidence in God, no matter what the circumstances of life surrounding us. Dry bones, indeed, all about us, sisters and brothers, dry bones. But God is still at work in us and in our world, giving us hope, even when it's hopeless. Thanks be to God. Amen.